Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. This morning I would like to preach from my scooter, and it will be an abbreviated message in preparation for the baptismal service. And I would like at this time to welcome the family and friends of the Macquaries. We're delighted that you're here, and pray that even as you've come, that together we may be blessed of God as we see the family following the Lord Jesus in obedience to his command. In preparation for this, I would like to expound for a few moments on the portion that that was read for us in Acts chapter 8. And if you have your Bible, I would invite you to turn there to Acts chapter 8, and we will look together at this portion of Scripture. A very interesting story is related by Luke. It's a story that is abbreviated. I would like to know more about the story, but of necessity, because of time and because of space, much of the New Testament is abbreviated. It's inspired by God. It's exactly what God wanted us to have. But there are some spaces that are left in this story that I would like, and sometimes I have the tendency to allow myself to fill in. We may do a little of that in these minutes this morning. I like always to be on time for appointments. And that isn't always true of me. I do miss appointments, and I have been late by times. But one of the things that I really don't like is waiting for people who are supposed to meet with me at an appointed time. I have a doctor friend who customarily has all of his patients come at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Everyone's appointment is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you're going to have your first appointment with him, you come at 5 to 3. But when you come at 5 to 3, you find that the office is crowded and that everyone else was there for 3 o'clock, and your name is at the bottom of the pile. And you may be fortunate to get out by quite literally 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night. And I've had that experience, and having had this experience, I go there as a peacemaker and tell people, well, it's worth it. It's worth waiting for. He's the best doctor in the country, and don't worry about a little wasted time because he's worth waiting for. At the same time, I have learned that I go at 1 o'clock when I'm told to be there at 3 and see that my name is near the top of the pile, because first come, first served in that office. The appointment that we read about in this story in Acts chapter 8 of Philip, God's servant, who was a deacon in the church and who was a preacher and an evangelist, an appointment was made for him to meet with a very important dignitary, and the dignitary was the minister of finance for the Queen of Ethiopia. And this meeting that took place, we read about, was in the Gaza Strip, which is a most unlikely place to have a meeting. It was a desert place. But God, by his Spirit, spoke to Philip, his servant, who was already ministering, and ministering very effectively where he was in Samaria. And he left there at the direction of God's Holy Spirit with a strange compulsion to leave. It speaks and tells us that the angel of the Lord told him to do this. And the angel of the Lord does direct, the Spirit of God will direct us and bring to our attention by times strange compulsions that we ought to obey. Philip obeyed immediately, and he made his way down to the desert. He left a great opportunity and a great work for a good work. He left something that seemed to be more prosperous for something that was less prosperous. But apparently he didn't question God's direction. And he made his way, and he found his appointment. His appointment had not been indicated to him before this, but it was indeed the minister of finance for the state of Ethiopia. And this man who was traveling on behalf of the queen was on his way back from Jerusalem going to Ethiopia. He had an entourage with him. We aren't told how many people there were, but no doubt there were many people with him, and he was the dignitary of importance. And we read in this passage about this divine appointment that that Philip had. And as we read about it, we recognize that Philip was obedient. The appointment wouldn't have taken place if Philip hadn't been obedient to the Lord. But he was ready to go where God wanted him to go, at the very time God wanted him to go, and God in his wise providence saw to it that the time was exactly right. There wasn't any waiting period. There wasn't any wasted time. God was wisely and providentially doing something far more important than Philip could ever imagine. So he met the Ethiopian eunuch, and as it would be, as it would happen, again, according to God's wise providence, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading a Bible, an Old Testament, and he was reading Isaiah chapter 53, which gives credibility to the authority that Isaiah 53 indeed is a messianic prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus. There are those who say it isn't. But the very fact that he was reading it, and Philip said to him, as the question was put to him, who is this prophet writing about himself or another? And Philip began at the same scripture, sitting in the chariot with him, and told him about Jesus. What a wonderful appointment that was. You know, when we come to our appointments, even in church, I'm not sure that we realize how serious it is that we be in the house of the Lord. But it's by God's divine appointment that we're here. God has brought you here. And I'm not sure as to the interest that people have. And as I've looked at congregations in the past, not this congregation, I wondered how many are here just out of curiosity. How many are here to just see what we do and how things are conducted? There are others that come because they are interested, not only curious, but somehow interested. They've heard from others, and they have an interest. But this Ethiopian eunuch was a man who had concern, real concern. It wasn't curiosity. He hadn't gone to Jerusalem just on a travel trip. It wasn't a tourist trip that took him to Jerusalem. He went there because his heart was heavy. He had worshipped the gods of Ethiopia, and these gods were many, and these gods were vacant. These gods were no gods. And he found himself with the moral code of the country being in a state of terrible disrepair, and he was concerned that he find out about the God of Israel. And so he's coming back, and he's reading the scriptures of Israel, of Judaism. And as he's reading them, God has his servant, and the appointment is made. With the appointment made, now Philip takes over. He's sitting with the minister of finance from Ethiopia. He, an ordinary deacon of a church, but here he is as God's servant with a divine assignment. And the assignment was that he would preach Christ to this man, that he would give to him the gospel of Christ, the gospel that had been committed to him, the gospel that was commissioned to the disciples of the Lord Jesus when they were told to go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them and teach them to observe. And so we find that Philip preached the gospel to him. Now we're not told exactly what he said. We're not given a verbatim report of what Philip had to say. But I can tell you that he preached the gospel. And the gospel is that God loves you. And he told this Ethiopian, God loves you. He loves you and has a purpose for your life. He told him as well that this purpose had been thwarted because of sin. And how dare he tell the minister of finance from Ethiopia that he was a sinner? But according to God's holy plan, this man was a sinner, and he needed a Savior. So the man apparently agreed that he was a sinner, that he was far from God, that he was destitute without God. And Philip apparently told him as well that Jesus Christ came into the world to die for him and to die for the whole world. And the man received this, listened to it, found out that Christ was the Savior who took his sin in his own body on a cross and died for him. And Philip would tell him as well, indeed, Jesus Christ was raised again from the dead, raised up again for you, for the world, that he might live and that he might reign in our hearts. And the Ethiopian believed it and gave affirmation. And further than that, Philip told him, listen, if you believe and you know Jesus Christ, it's important that you witness to him, that you make it known and confess him. For the Bible tells us that if we confess him before men, he will confess us before his Father in heaven. And so Philip told him this. and told him about baptism. Because as they went along in the chariot, the Ethiopian interrupted and said, "Hey, here's water, a wadi of water in the desert. Here's water. What does prevent me from being baptized? Can I be baptized?" And Philip said to him, "If you believe with all your heart, you can be baptized." And the eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And the assignment that was given to Philip was an assignment that was producing fruit. It was like taking the cherries off the tree. It seemed as though God had put him in that place and prepared the heart of the eunuch, and now the eunuch was receiving and had received Christ and was about to be baptized. And the scriptures go on to tell us that they went down into the water. Down into the water. Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water. And the interesting thing is that that baptism for that eunuch, before all of his entourage, all of his friends and his relatives and those who were his servants, was an announcement. The announcement is that Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's my Savior. He died for me just as I go under the water. He was buried, and as I come from the water, I believe that he was raised from the dead for my salvation. And this man had only been a Christian a few minutes, and he was baptized. And the entourage saw this and recognized the change. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. And he got home to Ethiopia. And I'm sure that even as he witnessed to the entourage of his faith in the Lord Jesus, he witnessed to Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, "I am a Christian. I've come back from Jerusalem and I'm a Christian. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me and was buried and raised again from the dead. And I was baptized out in the desert in a wadi of water by one of God's servants whose name was Philip." And what a change, the first missionary to Africa. He was the forerunner of thousands and thousands of missionaries to Africa. Africa, the dark continent. This, the first testament, the first testimony. A baptized believer going home, a government official, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this morning we come to observe believers' baptism. And it's done as similarly as we can do it in New Testament times. We're not at a river, but we have a tank of water, and we are having a baptismal service, which means an immersion in water. And the picture of baptism is death, burial, and resurrection. And in the water today, our friends will be immersed as a picture of death and burial. They'll come from the water as a picture of resurrection. And if I was to ask them, "Why are you being baptized?" they would say to me, "Because we love Jesus Christ and want to be obedient to him who has asked us to be baptized." Baptism does not save a soul. The Ethiopian eunuch was saved when he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But baptism is the announcement of the heart and the life that God has worked in my heart and transformed my heart. And I want you to know, it's my announcement that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord of my life. And so we come this morning to our baptismal service. And as we do, I would like to indicate to you that we will participate and that you will have your hymn book, and we would invite you to take your hymn book. And we will announce for you the hymns that we will sing.